Good afternoon, everybody, or good morning, wherever you are. Welcome to Robots and Red Tape. As always, I'm your host, Nick Schutt. Happy to welcome my friend Matt Kilbane back to the podcast. Matt, how you doing, man?
Man, I am doing great. And yeah, good afternoon to you as well, or good morning to you out there listening to this, whatever time of day, whenever you finally get to it. But man, things are going very well. Thanks for asking. Work is busy as always. In fact, my days regularly run like the 12 to 14 hours because, that's just how it is. Just got back from Europe. Went to the International Conference on Robotics, Ethics, and Standards. That was amazing. And I'm working my craft. I got a couple big projects coming up that are going to be launching very, very soon, as well as some other items in my career. So yeah, it's going really well. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, man, I'm super glad to hear that. I know last time when you were on, we had a really
Oh
interesting
yeah.
philosophical conversation about dystopian futures versus utopian futures and how we can essentially use AI as a tool to build towards either one or the other. Love to talk, a little bit more grounded for the moment, but can you tell folks a little bit about some of the projects you're working on, specifically around I know like you have Project Merit. I know you're doing some work with some chambers of commerce in both here in
Correct.
the country and in Europe. So you mind just telling everybody a little bit about what you've been up to and
Sure.
some of these awesome projects you're working on.
Very cool. Yeah, no, first off, yes, absolutely. And really everything that I'm going to say stems a lot from a lot of the themes and messages that were in our previous conversation, right? Because hey, that was really the seed of kind of the path that I've taken over the past 10, 11 months, since we last spoke. And it really focuses on, hey, how do we get humanity to that Star Trek-esque existence, right? Like that's what it's about to me, because when I look at AI and I look at the field and I look at its potential, this is what gets us, humanity, us to a Type One civilization, right? That's how it happens. And really a lot of my work and thought and research and conversations have really centered on how do we incorporate artificial intelligence into our society, but also how do we incorporate our society into AI? And that's led to a lot of the things that are coming to fruition. So first off, is like you said, you mentioned it, Project Merit. Project Merit is a collaboration between myself, the Maryland Veterans Chamber of Commerce, the Maryland Chamber of Commerce, Morgan State University, and hopefully, knock on wood, Johns Hopkins pretty soon, because they see the value in it as well. What Project Merit is it's essentially a pulse survey for businesses. Right, is really what it boils down to. However, the back end is constructed from the ground up for machine learning, artificial intelligence, and any type of advanced analytics. So why is this important? Why is this a project? Why do this thing and bring all these people together? Well, what we, society, do not have, or we do not have essentially the sensor arrays necessary to collect from the economy, from the populace, from whatever domain you are in, the information necessary to properly regulate and properly guide and enact the excuse me, enact the essentially the rules of the road for our society as we move forward and adopt AI. Okay, and so what Project Merit is it's a web portal, sends out a quarterly pulse survey to different cohorts, and it allows researchers and policymakers to track in near real time the effects of tariffs on various market sectors, the effects of AI implementation on various market sectors for employment, right? The effects of taxation and different, taxes on actual hard economic data, right? And so by taking all of this and essentially getting that repeated pulse survey from those dedicated cohorts, we can then, we, the royal we, begin to map out the effects, right, of different policies and different technologies on the economy of the state of Maryland, right? And of course, this is perfectly capable of, scaling to national or international level as well, right? And it's because of what happens when AI is incorporated into our society, right? And it's really getting, kind of a proof of concept for what type of mechanisms are we, humanity, going to need as we incorporate AI into our life, so that way essentially our society doesn't fall apart.
That's amazing. Yeah, and super,
Yes.
right? Super needed because I know that especially when you look at like the speed of development of AI and how
Yes.
quickly it's changing and integrating and moving into our society. And in addition to that, on the other side, how I mean, antiquated is the word I look for, but is a word, but how our data collection and responses are based on, I mean, they were built in the 1800s, 1900s.
Oh,
Our
my friend.
and so that's and I think we've all been watching it for the last 40 years of how our structures have been adapting to new technology and new technology being implemented. And I think we've done a better job in some places than others. But I think especially as you look at it hitting the gas and kind of continuing to move forward, I think we absolutely need to be able to respond faster to a lot of these trends as they develop and in a data to do that. And so it's awesome that you're, helping to create, ideally helping to create a system where you can collect that data faster directly from constituents, right?
Well, and correct. And it's not, so you hit the nail on the head, Nick. You really did when you talked about the speed, right? Because society, like humanity, like, look, we've gone through tech transitions before. Okay, the horse and buggy gave way to the automobile. Let's see, the kites or the hot air balloons gave way to airplanes, et cetera, et cetera. But what has never been possible before, right, is the velocity of adoption, right? Because at every other technological enabler that humanity has developed, we have always had it has come technology first and then infrastructure second. Right. So, hey, we got the car. We have the automobile. One internal combustion engine. Great. We're doing awesome things. This is a good thing for humanity, right, in some respects. Okay. Well, guess what? You got to get the rubber plantations for the tires. You got to get the oil well workers trained. You got to get the factory workers trained. You got to invent types of asphalt and concrete to pave roads, right? So you had to do all this supporting infrastructure to allow this one invention, the automobile, to proliferate, sorry, and change society. Not the case anymore, because this is the technological advancement to where the infrastructure came first. Right, it moves at the, like you already have electricity. We already got data centers. We've already got compute. Now we have AI, and it's only a matter of time of just scaling the energy, scaling the compute, and scaling the storage is really the only thing that we're talking about, right? So what the effect is that while we as a society had literally decades to come up with relevant automobile regulations, safety guidance, rules of the road, and for our society to adjust, right, having automobiles instead of horses and everything that that meant, like increased supply chain longevity, fresh foods, refrigeration. Now we can deliver medicine. Everything that happened, right, took decades to evolve. But now, guess what? Those feedback loops are in the milliseconds, my friend, because all it takes is you to type into your computer, to the server, back to you, and here you go. You have change, you have impact, you have effect of the new
Absolutely.
technology.
Yeah, I think that the only like analogy I can come up with or example I can come up with to support your analogy is social media as an example, right? So social media, like you didn't need everybody already had the phone, right? And the internet's out there. We have wireless connectivity, right? And as the smartphone got better and better and better, which was not strictly due to social media or social media at all, then you look at other nations, right? So we're not specifically the U.S., but more developing nations where they have wireless technology. And they all of a sudden you give a largely when I say illiterate, I mean like a media illiterate society access to the internet and access to social media directly. And you can see something like how that's affected, not just developing countries, our country, the Europe, elsewhere. How much has society changed over the last 15 to 20 years? With specifically around, because of the use of social media. And then, I think that a lot of people are just now catching up to the fact that like giving kids unfettered access to Instagram in schools and everywhere is not a good thing and has negative consequences. And I think we're dealing with the consequences of something that was delivered to us via existing infrastructure, and then
Correct.
that existing infrastructure, then that the what was being delivered and the money that was created because of that helped further develop that infrastructure. And I also think directly helped lead to a lot of what we're going through with AI right now.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And keep in mind, like a lot of that impact with social media, right? Kind of how you likened it to the impact of AI is very, very apropos, right? But I would say it's even more pronounced, right? Because again, what AI does, and we'll get into the agentic AI conversation in a minute, but especially when collapsing the stack, right? Not just for software development, but for the business process stack is really where that game-changing labor equation is. Right, because that's where you replace that human labor with AI labor, right? With digital labor, right? And digital labor, it doesn't need rest. It doesn't have. It doesn't forget. It doesn't have down. You know what I mean? It doesn't have bad days. It either is on or is off, right? And so that collapse in that process stack is what speeds up that change and what makes you really feel the impact of it. So, I'll give you an example.
Please.
Our sis, or I'm sorry, not an example, but just an elaboration. Our society, the rules by which we exist are incongruent with the technology and lifestyle that we live, right? And this is an example of that. The way we in America tell time is from an agrarian age economy, daylight savings time, right? So when we as a society decided this is how we're going to tell time, it was based off of when everyone rode horses, electricity wasn't discovered yet, and we all Congress met for 2 months out of the summer because that was harvest time, right? Or something of that nature, whatever our, and that's our legislative calendar, okay? That's our financial calendar. All right. That's our yearly calendar with how our holidays are set up and how our work flows and our vacations flow. It's all in our school year. It's all around harvest time. Right. So our society hasn't been an agrarian economy for a couple decades now to be conservative about it. Right. And that's just how we time our life. Okay. Now, when you look at our legal frameworks date all the way back to powdered wigs, some of which are still relevant, others of which not so much. I mean, because we still have laws on the books of you can't tie, your camel up in the town square on a Sunday, right? We still get that,
I'm
right?
not gonna lie though,
And
that
so, and that's just with
you
time.
shouldn't be able to tie your camel up on in the town square on Sunday,
Agreed.
right? I feel like you got to draw a line
Agreed.
somewhere. But to your point, like that's also why we vote
Agreed.
on, that's why we vote on Tuesday, right? The reason we vote as a society on Tuesday
Yeah.
is because Sunday was the Lord's Day, right? Saturday you were working on the farm. Tuesday was the best day to go vote, and so now we
Yeah.
that's a legacy societal structure that's in place, that's been in place for a long time, and it was just the way we do it. And if the reason you do
And
something is you've always done it, like it's probably time to go question why you're doing it, right?
yeah. And look, even though we're voting on a Tuesday, who's voting? Right? Who's that system set up for? It's set up for the rich white landowning men. Right? Because the women are back on the farm or back at the house, right? There's no one of color here but slaves. Right. And so, and they're right. They're not voting. Right. So even then, like, just like what you said, our entire voting system is incongruent with our way of life. It wasn't meant for people of color. It wasn't meant for women. It was meant to work for a very, very specific subset of people within America. And again, when we get into AI or agentic AI, and we see how this collapse affects organizations and processes, and you see how difficult it is right now to where, the people that are able to vote on a Tuesday morning, right, are most often the ones with, the highest income, and the most leeway with their schedules, right? Which
Absolutely.
is how you disenfranchise millions of people.
Of course. I mean, that's just one of the ways. There's a lot of other ways.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. But you see how, like, all throughout our society, the data that we d decision makers need to make decisions for the benefit of everyone is oftentimes either missing or delayed, and we need to fill those gaps, and that's what Project Merit's about.
Dude, that's fantastic. And so how does this how does this roll into like AI governance, AI regulation, or also, and I know you've also done a bunch of stuff around governance over the last, so I'd love for you to touch on some of the stuff you've touched on
Sure.
as well.
Sure. So as another thing that hopefully comes to fruition, we'll go ahead and we'll go ahead and speak it into existence here, is that I am waiting on the the Maryland governor's some type of cabinet or task force that he has to finish the appointments, because I'm supposed to be appointed to the Maryland State AI Working Group to really work on and represent veterans and small business owners and other individuals or interested parties in how we work out AI within the state of Maryland, right? And Project Merit feeds into that, is that near real-time data collection capability, right? So that way, when we look at, say, Maryland Department of Commerce, we say, okay, Department of Commerce, this is how you function regulatorily, and this is your regulatory timeline, right? This is what you have to do during the year. Well, this is what the data is telling you. So let's craft a more responsive framework so that way the Maryland Department of Commerce can govern proactively instead of reactively, and then just go on down the line for everything else in this state, right? Because we have, logistics, we have Department of Transportation. We have rail lines, major ports here. We have international airports, right? Hey, how does that affect, your real-time governance and the feedback that those organizations need to properly function in today's day and age, right? So, and then, Department of Justice, because this is a huge one, and this is my last example. If you have a GPS in your pocket, which you do through your cell phone, and you have your own personal AI agent, why do we need traffic cops? I know when you're speeding. I know when you rolled through the red light. I know when you stopped. I know when you made the right turn. I know when you, like, I know everything. So why do we need traffic cops now?
Great
Right?
question.
And so this is what I'm talking about as governance and that proactive governance. So right here, we have, just off the tip of the tongue, we have a scenario to where A, the population of the state of Maryland or the United States or whoever is being constantly monitored and interacting with artificial intelligence. Okay, that constant monitoring and interaction then leads to the constant monitoring of that employee by a state legal database or a state legal AI function. Okay, which then automatically goes ahead and issues any type of traffic or moving violate traffic citations or moving violations based off of the sensors just around you, right? Because we're all still surrounded by cameras, we know who was driving the car, et cetera, et cetera. Well, now what have we done? We've just nearly eliminated an entire function of law enforcement, which is traffic enforcement. So now now all of those small towns that required or leaned on all of those traffic tickets to balance their books, what happens to those small towns? Gone. All that revenue is gone. All those police officers are no longer needed. All that training time is no longer needed. But also for our society, all those harassment cases no longer exist. There's no more I'm driving while black and being tailed by a cop. That world doesn't exist anymore, right? So not only is it a way to eliminate a lot of the systemic racism, bias, sexism, et cetera, all that bad stuff in our society, it's also a way to reimagine law enforcement and every function of government, right? And essentially Project Merit is that proof of concept for that sensor array that government is going to need in order to properly navigate the rapidly changing environment brought upon by artificial intelligence.
All I heard, Matt, is I can't speed anymore, and I'm not about that life.
But you see what I'm getting
No,
at,
I do.
right?
I
Like,
do.
yeah.
I do. I do. And listen, as somebody that still like believes in personal privacy, believes that should be a thing, makes me highly uncomfortable, right? Highly uncomfortable to understand the level at which that data could like is already first is already being collected, but second, using that passive data collection or that data collection to enforce laws. I mean, that's something else too. Like, I'm not opposed to it.
We need to have some conversations, brother. That's what, yes.
But we absolutely do. I think that we like I don't know. It's very it's I'm not really sure where all of it's gonna go and how it's all gonna work. I don't like the idea of getting a like essentially like getting like a moving violation per second that I'm speeding or something, but I can understand why that would be like good, right? Like I can see why that has benefits. I can also argue the other side of, it's nobody's business, and if you're gonna give me a ticket, at least catch me doing it, right? At least catch me with a person, and maybe that's part of it. Even though they're not only catching us as people now, they're catching us with cameras already.
They already are. There's already image detection, with a speed light camera. Like, yeah.
No, 100%. So I mean, it's really cool that you're actually building. You're building the you're helping to start build this building this proof of concept to give us. to essentially build the data infrastructure to allow us to push civilization forward. That's
Yes.
super, super cool. Yeah, man.
Well,
And go ahead.
oh no, I was just going to say you made an interesting point, right? So that's the nexus of the conversation that everyone needs to have because it's going to affect everybody. Is what does our law enforcement look like? Okay, well, then the next thing you're going to turn around and say, okay, well, what data do you have, right? Because you want to understand the situation. Well, guess where that's coming from? Project Merit. It's coming right. So it not only informs the government, it informs the governed as well,
Absolutely.
right? So and you made a very, very good point about, hey, I don't want to be constantly monitored. What's my right to privacy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And this is in the larger governance, right, discussion. Okay, so imagine this. Imagine a time, okay, in the rather near future, I would say probably sometime between 2030 and 2035, where we as humanity, now I'm saying every person, every government on the planet are going to have to come into agreement on one thing, and that is digital sovereignty for you, for your children, and your grandchildren. So this is the current situation. If you expect that you have a right to privacy in the United States of America, I would point you to the U.S. Patriot Act and go ahead and start reading because you don't, right? Because the only thing that has to happen is like, what is it? The guy that killed the CEO, you remember him? Free Luigi, that whole deal. Yeah, well, you can label it an act of terrorism to suspend all his constitutional rights, which is how they caught the guy so fast. Right. So if you think you have privacy in the United States of America, it's called the U.S. Patriot Act. Get to read in and your eyes will open. But on that note, that's for the world now. Okay, with artificial intelligence. All right. And there's going to have to come a point in time in our society, in our future, and this is just what Matt's seeing here, is that we're going to have to make a decision on digital sovereignty and rights to our information. Okay. Because let's take Matt. Okay, I've been on this earth for about 40 some years now, a little bit over, but hey, who's counting? And all that time, I've been clicking through all those data sharing agreements with every single app, every single cell phone, every single operating system. Like our data is routinely sold and lost. So much so that, what is it, the Equifax thing? Too many people sued Equifax, so they ended up paying like $30 a person, or, like it's just so ridiculous now. However, this is why it's important. And this question is rhetorical. When was the last time that anyone asked Anne Frank whether they can read her diary?
Never.
Nobody. Never. Exactly. We don't care about her privacy. And our future generations aren't going to give a single care about ours. So this is what the future is, Nick, and this is just going to happen, is that when your grandchildren's grandchildren say, hey, tell me about Grandpa Nick, what was he like? They're going to be talking to their AI, and that AI will have every bit of data on you, every traffic light you ran, every text message that was archived, every purchase receipt from your Amex for 30. You see where I'm going with this. And then that artificial intelligence will be able to literally recreate nearly every single digitized step of your life, telling your life story to your ancestors, and you're not around to defend it. So think about your online presence and everything that's out there about you that's been breached, stolen, compromised, etc.
Absolutely.
Right? But if you have a right to privacy, then why is all that stuff out there? Why are companies monetizing and building products based off your personal data and your own life? Right? Because your life is essentially, that's the physical like manifestation of the digital copy of ones and zeros that are sitting making people money. Right. So why is somebody making money off your info? Shouldn't you have those rights? So now we get into individual data sovereignty, right? So when the walls of, because again, when you combine AI with quantum computing, go ahead and forget about cybersecurity because that doesn't exist anymore, okay? For all intents and purposes. So now, what rights do you have over your own data? I can download an open weight Qwen model, okay? And then go to town on you, right? Because all your stuff's on the dark web anyway. Yeah. So again, and that's again, when we talk about the future governance of society, in about 5 to 10 years, we as humanity are going to have some conversations about how we as humanity are moving forward because the game has forever changed. And I don't think a lot of people realize that yet.
I completely agree. I
Yeah.
don't realize have begun to realize, obviously, and people like I think a lot of everybody in this country has probably heard of the Patriot Act. I doubt most people know. and like understand that, they don't need to be in your phone, even though they are. They don't need
No.
to be. They're in the backbone of, they're in the backbone structure that everything runs through. And, that's where it is, right? They can get everything. They've been getting everything for a long, long time.
Dude.
The next
Yeah.
step of that is even scarier for folks like myself that actually care about privacy.
Yeah.
Like,
Well, I mean, look, dude, like let's be honest here, right? Like when Peter Thiel says that he wants his like AI dictator AI like, tech bro police state with his own cryptocurrency, these people are serious. Right? Like I mean, and when we talk about society, and this is something for all of us, right, is that people seem to forget that we, America, just had the largest data breach in US history with Doge, right? Every single database in the United States government is now compromised. Is Doge there? They're compromised, right? Like with Grok, how do you think Grok got trained up so fast? They got trained up by utilizing the world's second largest data set, i.e., the United States government outside of the CCP. Right. So, and like, and you see it, like, you see how IRS hands tax data over now to USCIS. So we know, hey, because all the illegal immigrants have to pay taxes. Right. But they don't pay taxes. But wait a minute, we're tracking them by their taxes. So make that make sense. Right. Now we're talking about medical data being synergized with that. Now we're talking about post office data. I mean, think about, and I mean, what was it? A few weeks ago, Elon Musk's artificial intelligence that's grounded in Twitter, i.e., the hotbed of racism, anti-Semitism, and bigotry for planet Earth, starts, it's, you see where its safety controls get dialed back, and all of a sudden it's calling itself Mecha Hitler and saying how the Jews need to be exterminated. So
Absolutely.
what happens, right? And so now, and that AI has access to every bit of your data that's been retained by the federal government.
That's like all the data on you.
Yeah,
Absolutely.
might just be a problem for the future, the very near future, right? But again, and that's why we need to start talking about governance, because an uneducated population, and there are evil, evil people out there that love the poorly educated, but an uneducated population cannot engage in these type of conversations, cannot even engage in the intellectual sophistication it takes to point out these issues, right? Much less get them resolved. So yeah, there's, it's going to be wild, brother. It's going to get wild.
It absolutely is. And when you start talking about, like, I mean, you bring Grok up, like, that's, I mean, as far as I know, that's largely, it's still an LLM. Like, it's not doing, it's not, they don't think they have like an agentic deployment. I know OpenAI just released in a an agentic an agentic model for paid customers that I haven't played with. I saw it yesterday. Haven't played with it at all. So like, how you for, like, and I think like agentic is, everybody talks and has been talking
Let's segue, brother.
like, can you define like how and
Oh,
contrast
yeah.
an LLM? Because like an LLM, like you ask it questions and you have it write things and it does research, but that's it. Like, it doesn't do a whole lot more beyond that, right?
Well, yeah. So, all right. So when you talk about like, hey, I'm familiar with LLMs, right? Like you log into ChatGPT, you log into Copilot, whatever, right? That's all an LLM-based chatbot is really what you have, And so LLMs are really a probability machine, okay? Like words are words, phrases, everything that you put, right? That prompt is broken down into tokens, right? And then those tokens, that token is actually a mathematical weight, right? That is essentially put into this giant Boolean algebraic formula that then boom, 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 right? And then that's how, it helps you write papers, it helps build PowerPoints, because it's really like a contextual guessing game that's gotten really, really good at the probability of what may come next, right? And that's for an LLM. So, and it's amazingly handy, it's generative, it makes new things out of old things by combining them, all this great stuff. But when we talk about agentic AI is just that next step up. That's all it is, right? And agentic, really, the key word is agent, right? Because this AI has agency. So an agentic AI will utilize a large language model to complete tasks, right? Because an agentic AI, it can, well, for lag for in common parlance, right? It can think, plan, and act on behalf of the prompt, right? So for an LLM, you would say, plan me a trip to the grocery store. Okay. And then it would, you know, it's like, okay, well, what grocery store? Where is it? You know, like, how do we get there? How, you know, you have to specify all this stuff in the prompt. You know, we're walking, we have bags, all this. Well, the agentic AI takes all those implied tasks and executes them without you needing to, right? So you'll say, hey, go ahead and, you know, plan a trip to the grocery store along with the grocery list. And if you have a smart fridge, the agentic AI will take inventory of everything in your fridge, construct a menu based off your dietary needs, right, and preferences, you know, and then like map out to the grocery store. You've got a smart car, right? Say, you know, say you've got a Rivian, so it's hooked up to your Wi-Fi, so it starts charging the car for you. It maps it out. Like, so that's the agent, the agentic, right, aspect of it is it is a computer program that can govern the behavior of LLMs.
So an LLM can write you a meal plan, an agentic
Correct.
solution can order your groceries from Instacart. Essentially,
Exactly.
is that fundamentally it? Like,
Yeah,
that's
I mean,
okay. Yeah. No, that makes
fundamentally
sense.
it. Yes. It's decision making, right? Choosing the what is the best type of tomato for this recipe, right? Beefsteak, Roma, cherry, right? It is tool use using Instacart, utilizing the tools, right? And it is adaptability. Oh, wait a minute. Roma tomatoes are out. We'll go ahead and get beefsteak, right? And it's self-directed goal pursuit. The computer program knows that my desired end state is for groceries to be delivered at Nick's house through like Instacart. And it will then logic itself through every single step of the way, right? Till it gets to that end state.
Absolutely. No, 100%. And so you, I mean, I know earlier you touched on the collapsing stack concept.
Yes.
You elaborate on that, you know, in relate
Absolutely.
folks understand in relation to agentic what that actually means.
Sure. Okay, yeah. So collapsing the stack in IT terms refers to a process. It's called the software development life cycle. Okay. And then it has certain steps. And then when you know, and you go through the such sequential steps and you start a concept and then you end up with software. That's how it goes. Okay. When we talk about agentic AI software development, what we're doing is that stack of tasks and processes, we're collapsing it. So all I have to do is say, hey, agentic AI software development program, design me a shoot 'em up computer game, whatever, a racing game, right? We'll go racing. And then it'll do it. It'll do the physics research, it'll do the modeling, it'll do the graphics, it'll do the dialogue, it'll do all that stuff for you, right? Okay. And you end up with a near finished project. Okay, well, guess what? That's collapsing the stack in IT in the IT world. Well, it also affects the business world. What do I mean by that? You have, when you go to work, right, you, me, whoever, humans exist at the task and process level of a business process hierarchy. That means task, compose email, take notes, right, schedule meeting, process, coordinate on this memo, assemble this briefing, you know, manage the team, right? So we humans focus on the task and process level, which is the exact place in the business process hierarchy that agentic AI collapses business processes through robotic process automation. Okay, so the very knowledge work that we do is directly affected by agentic AI's ability to do that work without us. Right? Because, and it causes us to then reimagine work, right? Because what happens is you really have three bench or three real metrics, right, for what an AI organization is, right? And what a and how and when you get to, hey, we're an AI first company, right? But through that process of AI adoption, where the agentic AI goes through and starts automatically collapsing business process stacks, right? So that is AI taking your job. That's exactly what it is. So the 15 minutes that you took taking meeting notes, guess what? Agentic AI does it in milliseconds, boom. So that 15 minutes, where does that go? Well, the company in this day and age takes that back. Okay. Well, again, now here we have what we touched on earlier, that incongruency with our way of life. Because we operate on a 5 day a week, 8 hour a day life cycle, right? That is perfectly suited for a Ford production line in Dearborn, Michigan in 1913. But the last time I thought, right, that hey, we don't work 8 hours a day. No one does that. No one out here is pulling levers on a die cast machine anymore, right? Like, take the part, move the part. We don't work like that anymore. So when it comes to AI taking your job, it's taking your job in the context of all that BS work that you just had, all that busy work to get from point A to point B. Well, AI's doing it, right? So now there's no more filler work. So there's no more pretending to work 8 hours a day, which is what we largely do because we have like roughly what, 4, maybe 3 hours of heavy cognitive capacity per day before we got to recharge. So yeah, we don't even work 8 hours a day now because we're all knowledge workers and knowledge work is impossible at 8 hours straight a day. Can't do it. So again, it's when agentic AI collapses that business process stack, right? What that does is that rapidly automates all of the work that humans normally do to occupy their time based off of this 40-hour work week framework, right? So now you have an AI layoff where you see thousands of people getting laid off. Why? Because all of that gain, all of that productivity gain, the company took that and then gave it to their shareholders. And they fired you. That's what happened. Okay.
Absolutely.
So n now let's look at our, again, let's look at our society because that's where the change has to occur because we do not operate on the 5 days a week, 8 hours a day anymore. Life isn't like that. So we have to now reimagine work. And that's why the governance and everything is so vital and the Project Merit and agentic AI is so transformative because it's not just an LLM. It acts on its own. It iterates on its own, right? And the only thing I need to do is just check work.
Yeah,
So
pointed
now, yeah,
check work. Yeah, absolutely.
exactly.
I just read, I want to say I read this morning or yesterday that Bill Gates just proposed a I'm probably gonna get it wrong, but it's like essentially
Go for it.
like a tax per model type, or like a per model tax, or like a per usage tax for a model that would essentially off like I believe that he was looking to use the proceeds from that to create a fund to like create like a universal basic income for people to offset like the loss of opportunities that you're talking about from an agentic perspective. I don't know the viability. I don't think that that specifically is super viable because I think that there's going to be a lot of questions around like, all right, well, what is a model and how do you even calculate that? But like, do you think that we're going to like need to move to more of like a UBI type setup as opposed to a, you know, sell your time for work, sell your time for money perspective, like as a society at writ large to, you know, make this transition?
Well, so I would say yes to an extent. Okay. And it's because when people talk about, hey, we want to do UBI, universal basic income, all that stuff, you know, it's great. I think it's a great concept, but where I see it really failing and not failing, but not really going that final measure, right? It's like an 80% solution, not 100%. Is because again, UBI is based off the need for UBI is based off of the continuance of the current economic system. That's right, because the only reason you need UBI is because people charge you money for your mortgage, people charge you money for food, people charge you money for transportation. That's why you need UBI. Okay, but look, if the bus is autonomous and it's owned by the state, why do I need to pay for the bus? Why do I need to pay for the train? Right. So the thing about UBI is UBI, I think, is a temporary measure to transition out of the current economic model that we're in. Right. And keep in mind, so let's kind of like draw back on a bit of this conversation. What current economic model is that? It's one where we tell time based off of an agrarian economy that doesn't exist anymore. We plan our work and our monetary value off of an 8 hour a day, 5 day work week schedule from an industrialized economy that doesn't exist anymore, right? We judge our work and our productivity based off of an information technology model that isn't directly applicable anymore because we're moving to an AI model, right? Right. And when I say IT model, I mean facilitated by IT, like financial transactions, information technology, intellectual property. Like that's how we base our wealth now. The wealth is in the data. It's no longer in the ground. It's not gold. It's data. Right. So So because of all those incongruencies, we, and that's again where the whole governance and pursuit of that comes into play, is really we're going to have to realign everything, right? Because if we do not, if the productivity gains, i.e. the wealth gains from the age of AI go straight to the top like they did in the ITK wave, dude, that's anarchy. That's anarchy.
Yeah, I mean,
Right? Because again, you're
if
talking
you
about,
automate away 85% of the jobs in this, or call it 50% of the jobs in the country, right? And try to keep, and try to force people to stay on the same existing model of economic model. Like, I mean,
The only thing you're going to
that's a
do is be
red
on the
flag.
receiving end of gunfire.
Yeah, one of my favorite quotes is actually a JFK quote. It's those who make peaceful change impossible make violent change inevitable.
Inevitable. Yes. And that's where, and you see it. You see it in, this essentially this pressure cooker that is modern American society, right? Where it's like everything, it appears as though a lot of things are just gridlocked by process, because it is. Because that's the point. The point is to gridlock it by process so that way you can govern by confusion.
Absolutely. No.
Because when people are, because when people are confused, do they really know what's going on?
I don't know people. I don't know if most people know
Well, that's how,
to begin with, but hey, that's neither
well,
here
yeah, but
nor there.
you see what I'm saying, right?
But
Like
you're
the,
absolutely right.
yeah, it's all smoke and mirrors. I mean, for, but again, it's like when we, and again, talking about governance, there are plenty of other countries other than the United States of America, right? Because governance is a global issue. And honestly, that's what, and governance really isn't being done in the United States of America, right? Like we have like, these think tanks that produce absolutely no policy, and it's just kind of there for like social media hits. We don't really have any empowered state lawmakers that are truly conversant in AI that actually know what they're doing. I mean, we still have lawmakers that, I mean, are what, septuagenarians now, 80 years old, some 90. Like, come on, get out of here. So really, it's really the re-architecture of everything, and it's going, and the onus is that we, being humanity, can no longer ignore it because technology has made ignoring it untenable, right? Because again, this is where we're at. Like you said, automating 50% of the jobs over the next 20 to 30 years, completely feasible, completely feasible.
Absolutely. And like I have been telling people for a long time that if they like to be real safe, you should go into a trade because like it's going to be a lot harder to automate a plumber than it is to automate a business analyst, right? It's going to be a lot harder to automate an HVAC tech than it is to be a to automate a you know like a data analyst or an administrative assistant or a knowledge worker. It's way easier because you can't like until robotics advances to the point where you can put
I was just
like
about
a
to say.
robot, right? Which is like I think that's like that's it's a next step. I mean I think in 10 to 20 years a lot of people will have the opportunity to have a robot servant in their house for them.
Correct.
That is essential. I mean, it works for that. It does whatever you tell it to, right? Like, and so, and yeah, then who owns the data
And then
and collects?
here, and then here we go. Like now look at what you just brought up. Everyone, people have a personalized robot in their house. Well, guess what people do? People anthropomorphize like nobody's business. Like we treat our cats like children. How do you think we're going to treat our best friend robot that does all our things for us?
Yeah, absolutely.
So now we're talking about AI rights. What is, and when you have a model, now when you have essentially a computer program that can think and cogitate at the level of a human, well, if you turn it off, is that murder?
Great
Is
question.
it? Well,
I don't know.
I mean, I mean, and then think about like when you kill it. So if you have a small language model and you download it into your robot, and then that robot is legally considered conscious and has agency, and then you kick the robot off the cliff, is that attempted murder?
Right. Is it? I don't know.
Exactly. So
Is it
you
attempted murder to
automatically
throw
see,
a toaster off the cliff, right? But where do you draw the difference? Where do you draw the line? And I think that you're absolutely right. These are big questions that we need to have the conversations around. I don't think anybody really has the answer right now. Who's not talking about this now? Like who's and
So
go ahead.
So, okay, so it really comes down to domain, and this is what I've been seeing as I'm looking out across the networks and, going throughout my daily life here, is that I see the world, right? Because the US is going through essentially a period of disengagement from the global economy, right? The trade barriers through tariffs, the disrespect to our allies, all the great stuff we've been doing internationally, right? So because of that, the world is rapidly realigning, right? I mean, you already see the drop in tourism. No one's coming here anymore. How American authorities are harassing, any type of brown or female student, good old fashioned, current administration. But because of that, the world has, like, because relationships are two-way streets, right? Like, let's be honest here. And you have 80 million people in America that have made decisions that they want to go back to a time that never existed. And that's fine. But there are 8 billion people on the planet who are well within their rights to wave goodbye and leave them in the past, right? So, because of that, this is what I see is happening across the world when it comes to technology. Innovation, and everyone's complaining about it. Sorry, might want to do that one too. Is that Europe, I think, is going to be the head of innovation. That's where all the innovations, the majority of innovation is going to come from Europe. Why? Because all the smart innovators have the safety in Europe to innovate. They don't have it here in America anymore, right? Their grants are getting canceled. They're going to get, if they're a foreigner, they always have to worry about their visa getting revoked off of something they said on social media. Like, it's not conducive to smart people being here anymore in America, right? And so Europe is the next logical destination. October 1st, that 200 billion from the EU AI modernization initiative goes online. So if you're a knowledge worker in the United States of America, go ahead and go to any European country right now and just Google like immigration and then I'm a tech worker and then the AI fund or some combination thereof. Every single country in the EU will have a portal for American knowledge workers to come there and live and continue exploring their field, right? China already, like, they're already poaching our workers. China's and our competition is already taking our knowledge workers. So, right, so all that great brain drain that happens when authoritarians take over, it kicks
Started.
into high gear in October.
Yeah, and I saw, like, and to your point, I had cigars with a friend of mine on Sunday who's he does, he has a background as a researcher. He's a psycho, he's a clinical psychologist. He said he's had a whole bunch of people reaching out to him from Europe and from Saudi Arabia, actually, to have him
Dude,
relocate over
yes.
there to run like global health initiatives and global health research and things like that. And it's like, because it's not like, because when you take away all of the re and you when you remove the research and like listen, the research system in and of itself needs to be reworked and revisited from a how research funding and research funding is allocated and approved. That system is another legacy system that's antiquated and broken, right? So take that part, set it aside. When you break the system entirely and take away all the research, the people that do the research are going to leave
And that's exactly what's
because they're
happening.
highly in demand and there's not a lot of them.
Brother, I will say that I will never want for another job for the rest of my days. And in fact, the next time that I ever put that looking for work little icon up on my LinkedIn, I'm actually quite excited for that day. I'll just leave it at that.
Absolutely, man. No, 100%. 100%.
But no, like knowledge workers in the United States are being actively poached at this time by other nations, period. Done.
Absolutely. So Europe is going to be the innovation center.
Yeah, I see Europe as innovation because one, people obviously, I mean, who doesn't want to live in Rome or Paris, right? Or anywhere, or Madrid, right? But also because it's safe there. They can innovate there. They're welcome there. It's a very liberal, very, neoliberal society, et cetera, et cetera. It's perfect for innovation, just like we were a couple months ago. And so then that leaves China with robotics because they're already dominating the robotics field. They have a cohesive national strategy. Like China has been so impressive in their national level mobilization, like serious Manhattan Project stuff that the United States just couldn't even hope to do in this administration. Like just, yeah, I mean, they've export controls are about to be a non-issue. They're about to have the most well-designed, best-designed data centers on the planet coming online. It's just, yeah. So anyways, Chinese robotics, they're just going to dominate, because when you combine them with South Korea, Japan, it's right there, right? And we've seceded we've seeded all of that, all
Yeah,
of our
and I'll,
robotics to
I'd
China.
also I'd add that we've also seen it all like the energy research and like renewables and green energy is
Correct.
China's going to completely dominate,
Yeah.
continue to
Yeah,
dominate
well,
that space because we don't because we have regressionist policy. I mean, like we are the greatest oil producing nation of all time. However, oil will be a big deal for a while longer. But when you start thinking about like putting humanity forward,
It doesn't scale.
it's also not a like it's not dense enough to
No,
buy
it's not.
energy to like get us to space. And then also like not for nothing, like you can't refuel. There weren't fossils elsewhere
Brother,
to create fossil fuels. So like
it is, hold on. It is a non-renewable, linearly scalable resource, resource.
absolutely.
Right? Like,
Great.
I
It
mean,
was
and
great for the 20th century.
almost like our system technology has forced us to revisit nearly every single societal model that we have.
Absolutely,
Yeah,
man.
I
So
know.
China, so but all right, so
Yeah,
Europe
I got
innovation,
China robotics and
China
energy.
robotics.
Europe is innovation. And believe it or not, India and Singapore, like the Indian Pacific, that area right there, dude, biomedical research. Because when you combine the legal framework and the financial framework of Singapore, right, and all those deregulated Southeast Asian countries with the knowledge workers and industrial base or pharmaceutical industrial base of India, you get I don't know, 200-year lifespans. Yeah.
All
Yeah,
right.
that's where you go to get a new arm. Hey, I need some new lungs. I smoked for 40 years. Let me travel, let me fly to Singapore and get some new lungs, that type of stuff. Right. So when it comes to biomed, I really see the future being in India and Singapore. And then the United States, I mean, we're not going to be out of it. I mean, we'll have defense tech, like we'll be able to kill people. We'll be good at that.
I mean, we already are. We'll probably be
Yeah,
better
I
at it.
know.
I mean, I do think a lot of that's gonna, a lot of that's gonna drive innovation. My concern, I have
Yeah.
other structural concerns here for a lot of reasons that I don't want to get into. A lot of it has
Sure.
to do with the debt and the deficit, and how that has been handled, how that's continuing to be handled, and
Well,
how.
we're the ones that are going to pay that piper, brother.
Oh, I know, and how, yeah,
Yeah.
well, I know, I absolutely do. And so like I'm like because of the decline of the petrol dollar and what that's going to do to international demand for US dollars.
Yeah.
It's already doing to you at to the international demand for US dollars. Just look at the bond market over the last year and how things have changed and when they changed to understand what has happened. But like when you start looking at that, it's like, oh, well, then all of a sudden, we're not able to export our inflation anymore because the dollar has been incredibly inflation resistant because of the consistent demand for it. So,
Yeah.
as you sit and start looking at some of these things, what's going to happen now?
Well, I mean, it's almost like there was a plan, almost like a project plan that outlined, like tra tanking the US dollar and replacing it with cryptocurrency.
Yeah, almost.
Yeah,
Almost.
almost like there was something in writing. Yeah, for like a couple of years now. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely,
So,
man.
but yeah, no, and me, like, because again, that's really like, dude, that's what drives me. And I'm gonna be dead honest, man, because it's not you. And it's not me. It's really, and I'm gonna be, brother, we got failed. Okay. Like the generations, the boomer generation, if they had any aspirations to leaving the world as a better place for those that come after them, no, just gone. Right. Gen X, same thing. Look at the demographics of the recent election, Department of, just look at it, right? So if anyone is going to be able to provide a better future for our children, our grandchildren, et cetera, it's not going to be them. Like we cannot look to them at all. Like they have shown us through their actions over decades that they're just going to crash this sucker into the wall for their own self-interest. Period. So that's what drives me. It's the fact that this is wrong and my kids deserve better.
Mine too.
Period.
Mine too.
And so yeah, dude, and it's and if we have to go on a quest to restructure society itself so we can actually leave something to our kids that they can actually be proud of, then that's just what we got to do, my friend.
Dude, I'm with you, man. And
Yeah.
that's part of the reason why I'm out here doing all this work and doing these things, because I believe in that. I believe that, and I've always believed that,
Yeah.
like it's the sat we're like a sacrificial generation that's just gonna have to take it.
Yeah,
And
dude, we're it.
make lemons out of lemonade, right? Like that's where we are because, you know, the world order that was set up by, I guess it was the Silent Generation
Correct.
there in 1945 is in the process of breaking down, right? And it's been breaking down for a while, but it's and like society that the underpinnings of our global society, well, underpinnings of our society and our societal structures are in the process of breaking down. And
Correct.
they're antiquated, right? Like, frankly, they're antiquated. And so, like, how, you know, what do we do other than, you know, find the best path forward and make it happen?
Well, exactly, dude. That's exactly what we do. We step up and we do the work.
Absolutely, man.
We do what we do what our fathers and grandfathers failed to do. We will step up and do the work.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So from a regulatory perspective, how are the, you know, how have Europe, like Europe, China, yeah, Southeast Asia, and us, how have we all been handling it a little differently? And I know this is a huge question, but like,
Dude, I'll do bullet points.
okay, yeah, bullet
Cool.
points.
All right. United States of America, little to none. AI action plan, it does not mesh with reality. We have deregulated as much as possible. I mean, look at the NIST safety standards, barely existent, right? So one of the things that that's going to do for us is that, and think about this if you're listening, who in the world's going to buy American-made AI? Who in the world is going to buy American-made AI with this type of regulatory environment? And I'll leave it at that. So that's the United States of America. Hell-bent for leather, right? China, again, couldn't be more impressed. Yes, it's all about China. Yes, it's China, it's Sino-centric. Yes, they're trying to fill the gap left by the United States of America by exporting their culture and their technology. They're doing a great job, by the way, of filling that gap that we're leaving. And so China's going to be fine. They will develop their AI products in accordance with their national interest. What they will also do is they are completely dominating literally every other continent on the planet when it comes to AI development. Why? Because Chinese models are state models and they're releasing them open weight, which means that open source, and open source is the wave of the future, right? It always has been, right? Nobody wants moats around their capabilities, or nobody wants to jump over moats. So China, regulatorily, yes, we have issues. Yes, they're collecting everyone's data. Yes, they're going to monitor the whole world if they could. It's China, But yeah, that's it. So they've got their thing going, and China will always remain Chinese. And so for the European Union, everyone talks about the EU regulations, but however, they're doing great. They're slimming them down, and all this noise that you hear is one of two things. One, it's from the very same people that said we don't need to regulate the coal mines, the children are just fine. Okay, those people. And it comes from people that really don't understand the regulatory process and how laws are made. Right, because you have to adjudicate this stuff and it takes time. Other than that, you really want to look out for the Middle East. As far as the Middle East goes, you have some serious funds because the Middle East needs a competitive advantage. And with global warming happening, they don't have one, right? Like they're literally on a